The Bible says, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. Ask, seek, knock. That's A-S-K. It spells ask. He's just saying the same thing three different ways. I want you to ask. You have not because you ask not. So many things you have already missed out in your life simply because you never asked God for it. God says, call to me. I'll answer you.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. As we continue in this series called Unshakable, which is based on the life of Daniel, you'll discover how to live for God no matter what comes your way. If you'd like to have the amazing Unshakable study kit, which contains 8 video sessions and a workbook, it's available right now by going to PastorRick.com or by texting the word daily to 800-600-5004. Just ask for the Unshakable DVD study kit when you contact us. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part 2 of a message called When You're Asked to Do the Impossible.
Question: what are you procrastinating that you know you need to do, and you've known you need to do it for years, and you still haven't done it because it could be painful? Let me ask it another way. What are you pretending in your marriage is not a problem? And you go, well, I know it's there, but I don't want to deal with it because it could be Mount Vesuvius, a big explosion. And so we just sweep it under the carpet year after year after year. And the more you sweep under the carpet, it starts making a mound under the carpet. And pretty soon you got a hill in your carpet and you're going to trip over it. What is it you're pretending isn't a problem in your life? You say, well, I know I got this weakness. There's this thing that I do that I really don't like doing. It's not really an addiction, but I do it and I do it over and over and over and I can't seem to stop it. But, it is an addiction. And you say, well, it's my little faux pas. It's my little fallacy. It's my little fault. It's my little peccadillo. It's my little, problem over there. No, you're procrastinating. And procrastination only makes problems worse. Procrastination has never solved any problem. Delay doesn't make it worse, doesn't make it better. It makes it worse. People say, well, time heals all wounds. That's nonsense. Time does not heal all wounds. If you got cancer, time's not going to make you better. You got to get surgery and you got to get it as fast as you can. If time could heal everything, all you could have to do is go sit in the doctor's office and you'd get healed eventually because you're going to wait a long time there. Well, I don't even see the doc. I've just sat here long enough. I'm well. It doesn't work that way. Don't procrastinate. Don't dawdle. Don't panic. Ask why. And then immediately go to wherever the source is and ask for time to consider the decision. To courageously create a solution. Move against your fear. The only way you get rid of fear is to move against it. You can't argue out of fear. You can't talk yourself out of fear. You move against your fear. You do the very thing you fear the most. Here's the fourth thing you do. Daniel did this. Enlist prayer support from your friends. Enlist prayer support from your friends. Now, of course, Daniel knows he's going to pray about this a lot. In fact, he's going to stay up all night, pray about it all night. But he knows this thing is too big. I mean, the kingdom here is in the balance. The king is off his rocker. He's about to kill everybody in the court, all of his advisors, including us. And we weren't even involved in that because we're not, astrologers or mediums. And he goes, I got to get some more extra prayer support. I got to get my prayer team going. And he needed other people praying. So here's what he does in verse 17 up here on the screen. Then Daniel went home after he'd seen the king. And he told his three friends, Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah. We talked to you about these in the previous week. Obviously, they all live in the same house. These four young guys are bunking together, sharing a house. And he told his three friends what had happened. And then he said, pray! And I probably admit that he probably said it like that. You guys, pray! Our lives are on the line. We're going to be killed if we don't figure out this dream. Pray that the God who rules from heaven will be merciful and explain this mystery to us, so that we, and the other advisors won't be put to death. Question: do you have any prayer partners? If you got in your car going home today from church and you were in a major crisis, big accident or whatever, and some people died, who would be the first five people you'd call and say, I need your prayer? If you don't know who those people are, if you haven't lined them up in advance, I highly recommend that you build a prayer team, a personal prayer team. Every man needs one and every woman needs one before the inevitable crisis comes in your life. Because you're going to have problems all your life. You're going to face impossible situations. You're going to have dark days. You're going to get the phone call that changes the direction of your life. Count on it. You need to know now who you can call to say, who are you going to call? Who are you going to call? He knew immediately, I'm going to go tell my friends, ask them to start praying. Let me say it, phrase it another way. Who can call you this afternoon? Who is it that you're close enough to that you got five friends who could say, hey, I'm really going through a tough time today. I had a crisis. I got to face an impossible situation. I need you to be praying for me. This is why everybody needs to be in a small group. The best place to get your prayer partners, your prayer team, is the people you meet with in a small group every week. That's the best place. Now, it's okay to have prayer partners who are in addition to your small group or out there. That's fine. But you don't need a lot. You don't need 25 people praying for you. But you do need four or five. And every man needs four or five guys who are praying for him. Every woman needs four or five women who are praying for her. And you need to be able to ask for prayer the way Daniel did. By the way, did you notice? Look at that verse again. He went home, told his three friends, I need you to start praying so that we, and notice he says, and the other advisors, circle that phrase, and the other advisors. Daniel is not just concerned for his own skin. He's worried about his coworkers. He's not worried just about him getting laid off. He's worried about the whole office getting laid off and killed. Now, these other workers, they're not his friends. They're pagans. They're not God-fearing people like his three best friends. They're these necromancers and mediums and sorcerers and astrologers and psychics, all of this phony stuff that they're not even involved in. But Daniel goes, I don't care if we disagree with them. We don't want them to die. That is the mark of a godly person, that you're praying for the people in your life who have a different lifestyle than you, who have a different belief or religion than you. Daniel's going, nobody deserves to die over this. Okay? They're not my friends. We're not buddy buddies with these other people, but I don't want to see them killed any more than I want me and my friends killed. That's what a godly person does. They pray not just for themselves. They're not just worried, well, I might get laid off. They're worried about the whole office or 10 people might get laid off if this rumor is true. So don't panic. Ask why. Ask for time to create a solution. Enlist prayer support from your friends. And then number five, this is a big one. Pray and expect God to give supernatural help. When you're facing an impossible situation in your life, and Daniel's going to teach you how to do this, pray and expect God to give you supernatural help in your life. And when I say supernatural help, I'm talking about the kind of help that you don't have on your own power. It's not dependent upon your logic, your wisdom, your talent. It's you just go, this isn't going to happen unless God does it. And you need supernatural help when you don't have the money and you're deeply in debt and about to file for bankruptcy. You need God's help when you don't have the connections, when you don't have the education, when you don't have the answers, when you don't have the ideas to take your business to the next level, when you don't have what the competitors have, when you're not smart enough. You need supernatural help. You pray and you ask God and you expect God to give you supernatural help. Now, here's the interesting thing about this. God wants you to do this. God wants you to ask. Over and over and over and over again in the Bible, God wants you to ask for supernatural help when you're up against an impossible problem, because it shows he loves to help you out. Now, while Daniel, this is 2,500 years ago in Babylon, while Daniel's a young Hebrew boy in Babylon as a prisoner of war, but being trained to be an advisor, There's another guy over here in Judah, Israel, which they didn't take everybody as prisoners of war. They left some people there. One of the guys who was left there was a guy named Jeremiah. He was not a bullfrog. He was a prophet. Okay? And Jeremiah lives at the same time Daniel does, and Jeremiah knows what's going on in Babylon, and God says this to Jeremiah. Look at the next verse. He says this. Call to me, and I will answer you. God says this. And I will show you marvelous things and wondrous things that you could never figure out on your own. Now, that's exactly what Daniel needs. He needs God to show him what he could never figure out on his own. He could guess for 1,000 years and never guess the king's dream. And there's some things in your life you could guess and work and pray and try and all your life and never figure it out. What you need is to call to God, and he says, I'll answer you, and I'll show you the things you could never figure out on your own. God never shuts his storehouse till you shut your mouth. God says, call to me. The Bible says, you have not because you ask not. You have not because you ask not. You have not because you ask not. You know what hell would be for me? Hell would be if I got to heaven and God showed me all the things I could have accomplished, all the things I could have achieved, and all the things I could have had if I had just asked God. You have not because you ask not. There are a lot of things in your life God wants to give you, but he's never given them to you because he's waiting for you to ask. Over 20 times in the New Testament, God says, ask. You're commanded over 20 times. Ask, ask, ask. Ask anything in my name. Ask and it shall be given to you. The Bible says, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. Ask, seek, knock. That's A-S-K. It spells ask. He's just saying the same thing three different ways. Ask, seek, knock, ask. I want you to ask. You have not because you ask not. So many things you have already missed out in your life simply because you never asked God for it. God says, call to me. I'll answer you. Some of those problems you thought, I'm never going to figure this out because you didn't ask God. You could have said, God, show me the great and wonderful things that there's no way I could figure it out on my own. I have prayed that prayer thousands of times as your pastor. When we were facing insurmountable odds like buying land or launching new churches or facing major crisis in our church or in the nation. And I'm going, God, I'm not smart enough to do this. I'm asking you. I'm begging you. Here's what I need. And I get very specific. And my life is a history of answered prayer. You have not because you ask not. And this is what Daniel did. He comes and he prays. And he does, and he says, I can't figure this out on my own. Now, there's one condition on this. When you pray, notice I said, pray and expect God. That's faith. Pray and expect God to give you supernatural help. If you pray and you go, well, I don't really think God's going to do this. I'm going to pray. So, God, I need this. I need this money. I need this staff. I need this person. I need this opportunity. I need this help. I need this answer. I need this solution. But I don't really think God's going to give it to me. Don't even bother. Mail it in. Because God says, I'm not going to answer that kind of prayer. God does not respond to your whining. God does not respond to your griping. God is not ever moved by your complaining. Oh, God. But God moves instantly when you trust him. He moves when you have faith. He moves when you expect him to. Why? Because it honors God. He's your loving heavenly father. And the Bible says, if you being an imperfect father or mother, know how to give good gifts to your kids. How much does God know how to give better gifts to you? And he's perfect. As a father and now as a grandfather, I love to give my kids and grandkids stuff. I'd spoil them rotten if Cade let me. I would. I'd spoil them rotten. Because I have the joy of giving, and watching them enjoy what I've given to them is the greatest thrill. You know, when I'm a little kid and I'm immature, it's all about the presents I get under the tree. That doesn't thrill me anymore. The presents under the tree are the least important things to me at Christmas. It's watching everybody unwrap the stuff I got for them. And when my kids or my grandkids say, Daddy or Papa, I trust you, don't you think I'd move heaven and earth to get whatever they need done? And when you come to God, say, Daddy, Father, Heavenly Father, I'm going to trust you. Don't you think he'd move heaven and earth to get things done? The Bible says that if he loved you enough to send Jesus Christ to die for you on the cross, solve your biggest problem, your eternal salvation, anything else you bring to him, it's pretty small potatoes in comparison. It's pretty minor by comparison. All your problems are minor by comparison compared to God forgiving you of all your sins. So trust him. You got to expect him to answer, as Daniel did. Here's what the Bible says, James chapter 1. If you need wisdom, and Daniel did, ask God. He'll gladly give it to you. Now, he's not going to give it to you if you don't ask, because he wants you to trust him. He wants you to ask. He won't resent you asking. God, I don't know how to solve this deal. I don't know how to handle this competitor. I don't know how to resolve this marriage conflict. I don't know how to deal with my child who's heading off in the wrong direction. He won't resent you for asking. But when you ask him, be sure that you expect him to answer. That's the prayer of faith. Expect him to answer. For a doubtful mind is unsettled as a wave of the sea that's tossed by the wind. And he said, people like that should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. So if you're not going to believe it, you're not going to expect it, don't even bother praying. You pray, and if you thank God in advance, that's called faith. If you thank God after the fact, after he gives it, that's called gratitude. God wants you to have both, faith and gratitude. Thank you, God, that you're hearing me. Thank you, God, that you're going to give it. And then thank you, God, that you gave it, faith and gratitude. So that's the fifth thing. You need to pray and expect God to give you supernatural help. Okay, number six. This is a big one when you're facing an impossible situation in your life. The sixth step is worship God. Worship God. Let me explain what that means. A lot of people think worship is music. Music is one way to worship, but there's thousands of ways to worship. Worship simply means focusing on God. That's all it means. Anytime I turn my attention to God, that's called worship. When I express my love to God, that's called worship. You don't have to be in church to worship. You can worship God in your car. You can worship him in the locker room, at gym, at school. You can worship him outside. You can worship him at In-N-Out Burger. So you come to God and you worship God. Now what that means is I get the focus off my problem and I get my focus on God. I get my focus off the thing that's scaring me to death and I'm tempted to be panicked over, and I get my focus on the solution. I stop looking at the difficulty, the impossible problem, and I start looking at the immutable God, the sovereign God, who no problem is small to him. He knows it all, he sees it all, and everything like that. So I worship God. And this is what Daniel did. After he asked his friends to pray, he goes spends all night praying. And verse 19 says this, during the night, it doesn't tell us when, but sometime during the night, God revealed and explained the mystery of the dream, Nebuchadnezzar's dream, to Daniel in a vision. Now, what does that mean? He just got a picture in his mind. He goes, I got it. God just put that in my mind. I know what he dreamed. I saw it. He just put that thought in my mind. I got it. And not only do I know what he dreamed, I know what it means. God just told me, which means I know more than Nebuchadnezzar, because I know not only what he dreamed, I know what it means. That all came from God. He was never going to get that on his own. And it says, then Daniel praised, that's worship, the God of heaven. Circle the word praised. Now, this passage shows you how to pray in a crisis. You need to write this down. You're going to need this. When you're faced with an impossible situation, you need to pray the same three things that Daniel prayed when his life's on the line, he's about to get assassinated, if he doesn't come up with the answer, when he's asked to do the impossible. Okay? He's up all night. It says during the night, he's praying. By the way, before I give you these things, let me ask you this. Have you ever prayed all night about anything? in your entire life, ever, have you ever stayed up all night to pray about something? Is there anything important enough in your life that it's worth staying up all night to pray about? No. You see, prayer reveals what's important to you. If it's important, you're going to pray about it. And if it's really, really, really important, you're going to really, really pray about it. If you're not praying about it, it's not that important. God goes, well, it's obviously not important to them. They don't really care if they get that job. They're not praying about it. If they prayed about it, they might even stay up all night to pray about getting that job. It reveals what you care about. Prayer reveals what's important to you. Now, granted, if you were being threatened with execution the next morning, you probably would stay up all night and pray. But would it take that? Does it take you being near death to have to stay up all night and pray? Is there anything worth praying all night for, like the direction of your kids? Like the success of your marriage? Like the fulfillment of your career? Is there anything in your life that you would ever stay up all night to pray about? God's going, I'm here, you can ask. You obviously don't think this is very important. Because I've said, call to me and ask. Now, Daniel shows how to worship when you're in a crisis. I want you to write these three things down. When you're facing the impossible, first, praise God for who he is. I praise God for who he is. In other words, his character. I focus on who God is. And I say, God, you're loving. You're kind. You're gracious. God, you know everything. God, you're all powerful. Nothing's too hard for you. God, you're faithful. You've been there when I needed you. God, you're a forgiving God. You're a gracious God. God, you are omnipotent, all powerful. And you focus on the attributes, the nature, the character of God. You praise God for who he is. Notice here's what it says in verse 19. Then Daniel praised God, saying, our God, your name will be praised forever and ever. You are all powerful. That's who he is. And you know everything. That's a good thing, because I don't know what that king knows, but you do. You know what he dreamed, so I'm going to need you to tell me what you know that I don't know. You will praise him for who he is. Now, I want you to circle the phrase, your name. He says, when you pray, say, God, I'm praising your name. What is such a big deal about God's name? I mean, in the Ten Commandments, you know, the big 10, the top 10 in God's list of things you're supposed to do or not do, right up there with don't murder and don't commit adultery, he says, don't take the name of the Lord in vain. Huh? Wait a minute. God considers taking his name in vain as bad as adultery and murder and lying and cheating? Yes. What's the big deal about God's name? He says, don't take my name in vain. Don't misuse my name. It's right up there with don't murder and don't commit adultery. Some of you need to stop taking God's name in vain. And you need to tell God you're sorry for taking his name in vain. You need to break that habit. You need to stop using him as a cuss word. You need to stop using him as where you just throw it in there all the time. What's the big deal about God's name? In the New Testament, Jesus says, I'm going to teach you how to pray. It's called the Lord's Prayer. Here's how you should pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Huh? What's the big deal about God's name? Hallowed be your name. That means honored be your name, respected be your name, treated with value be your name. When Jesus Christ gets ready to go back to heaven, one of the last things he says to the disciples, his followers, he said, now I want you to go all around the world and I want you to make disciples and you were to baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. What's the big deal about Jesus' name, the Spirit's name, the Father's name? Name represents character. God's name represents God's character. God's name represents who he is. When we say about somebody, he's got a good name, it means he's trustworthy. That guy's legit. When you say, she's got a good name, what you're saying there is she's reliable. She keeps her promises. She's trustworthy. If she says she'll do it, she'll do it. He's got a good name. She's got a good name. Your name represents who you are. God's name represents all he is. And so you praise God's name because you're praising what his name represents, all of his character qualities. It's important. Now, the second thing you do is you honor God for what he does. Write that down. You praise God for who he is, and you honor God for what he does. This is the difference between God's character and God's actions. And now, the second part of your prayer, when you're in a crisis, first, you remember who God is, and second, you remember what he's done, his actions on your behalf. And you honor God for what he does. And in verse 21, this is the second part of Daniel's crisis prayer. And he says this, "You, God, you control human events. You, God, give rulers their power, and you take it away. You're in charge. You, God, are the source of wisdom and knowledge. You, God, explain the deep mysteries," which Daniel really needs to know in this situation. What's the mystery of this dream? "You explain the deep mysteries because even the dark is light to you." The Bible says God is light and in him is no darkness at all. And even in your darkest days, when you can't see ahead, he can, because God is light and in him is no darkness at all. God, you can see what I can't see. You can hear what I can't hear. You know what I don't know. You are God. You control human events. You know everything. And he says, "You are the God who worshiped by my ancestors." He's praising God for who he is, and he's thanking and he's honoring God for what he's done. That's the second part. Now, here's the third part of the prayer. You need to pray this too when you're in a crisis. Thank God for helping me. Thank God for helping me. I praise him for who he is. I honor him for what he does. And now the third part of my prayer is I thank God for helping me. And in Daniel chapter 2, verse 23, the third part of his prayer says this. "Now, God," he says, "I thank," there's the word thank, "I thank and praise you, God, of my ancestors." I mean, you helped out my dad and my parents and grandparents and on, people of the past in the Bible. "I thank and praise you, for you have given me wisdom and strength." And Daniel needed both of those when he's facing an impossible situation. "And you have told me what I asked of you and revealed to me what the king demanded. So God, I'm so grateful. I'm so thankful." And that's the third part of your prayer. Thanking God for what he's done for you in the past, what he's doing for you right now, what he's going to do for you tomorrow. That's Thanksgiving.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. If you'd like a copy of today's message or the whole series, just go to PastorRick.com. And while you're there, go ahead and sign up for Pastor Rick's free daily email devotional. And be sure to check out all the other great resources available to you. As we look at the unprecedented things going on in our world today, it's clear that we need to be equipped with the resources to handle whatever life throws at us. That's why Pastor Rick has asked his team to make available to you a DVD study kit called Unshakable, which is based on the life of Daniel. In these 8 powerful video sessions, Rick teaches you how to handle life's most unexpected circumstances and extreme pressures, how to avoid compromising on what you believe is right in God's eyes, how to handle success, how to learn from your mistakes, and how to pray the kind of prayers that God answers. This study is perfect for your individual quiet time or in a small group setting. To get your copy of the Unshakable DVD study kit, just go to PastorRick.com or text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. There are only 3 days left to get this great resource, so don't wait. And now here's Pastor Rick with a letter from one of our listeners.
Here's a testimony that was sent in from a woman named Marcia. She says, "Hi, Rick. What a blessing this radio show is. I am a survivor of the great white wave of mental illness." Well, Marcia, I understand that, and God is with you. Thanks for sharing that with me. She says, "Every day, first thing in the morning, I listen to Daily Hope. And I've texted your messages to so many people when the message of hope truly hits home for me. I praise the Lord for all your team. Don't ever stop. And I'm especially proud of what you and Kay are doing for mental illness. With love and praise, Marcia." Well, thanks for writing, Marcia. You know, one of our goals is to take the pain and the hurt we've had experienced in our own family and use it to help others. It's not a sin to be sick. Remember, your illness is not your identity. Your chemistry is not your character. God loves you. You can have a tender heart and a tortured mind at the same time. God is with you. And thank you for writing. And by the way, thanks to all the rest of you who write to me. And if you get a chance, jot me a note of what's going on in your life this week. God bless you.
Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.